Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of The Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy, your host with the most. If this is your first time listening to this show, welcome and thank you for joining the ride. And if this isn't your first time listening, thank you for your continued support of this chill, positive, and passionate look at professional wrestling. So, of course, I've got your news and gossip-ish, where I talk about everything that's going on in the world of wrestling via news, gossip, and pop culture. And I've got a special interview with La Femme champion Casey Dillon, and she's an owner of the Belladonna division, which is having its first event next month. And I have more information on that special event later on in a special segment dedicated to just that. So sit back, relax, and listen to the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Catch the vibe. All right, so in this news and gossipish, there is so much going on in wrestling. I feel like I say that every week. But this week, it takes on a whole new meaning in terms of just disrespect and respect and more people getting fired and people throwing shots and all the above, man. There's just so much going on. So I'm just going to start with Mickie James. As you may or may not know, last week she was announced as one of the talents that unfortunately got released last week among the iconic Samoa Joe, Tucker, who used to be in Heavy Machinery with Otis, and so many different people. And just one of the things that happened over the course of this week in terms of her getting her stuff back, you know how when you leave a job and then sometimes you leave your stuff, some of your stuff behind, if you don't get everything, the job is sort of required to sort of give you your stuff back or mail it back if you didn't get it all. So she posted on her social media earlier this week that she got a care package from WWE, and it was in a trash bag and in a box. So she posted a picture on Twitter that said, "Dear at Vince McMahon, I'm not sure if you're aware, I did receive my WWE care package today. Thank you." And it was literally a trash bag. And I'm just like, whoa, so that's how they did that? It was kind of odd for me to kind of see that. So I was just like, so instead of just giving you your stuff back in a box, you know, and just having it labeled or some with like a nice note in it or something like that, they just threw it in a plastic bag, like a trash bag. And you would think someone of her caliber would deserve a little bit better than that. But after she took that picture, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, you know, responded that same night and said, "Upon learning of the disrespectful treatment some of our recently released talent received on behalf of the company, we took immediate action. The person responsible for this inconsiderate action has been fired and is no longer with WWE. And then Stephanie said, I'm embarrassed you or anyone else would be treated this way. I apologize personally and on behalf of WWE. The person responsible is no longer with the company. So it seems as if the person who was in charge of this, or the person who was over this sort of thing, got, you know, reprimanded for it and basically got let go quietly, which is a good move on their part to just say, you know, hey, like, this isn't something that we're okay with, so we're gonna fire this person. But the plot thickens a whole lot more because Maria Bennett, or Maria Kanellis, who used to work for the company, also said that she got her stuff back in the exact same way, and so did I believe Jillian Hall, the girl who used to sing and all the other stuff, like in the early 2000s on SmackDown or whatever, and had that grody looking mole on her face. She said that she got treated the same way, and she got her stuff back via, you know, a trash bag or whatever. And then later on, I believe it was yesterday, they released news that the person in charge of, you know, them getting their stuff back was Mark Carano, and he was the one that got released from WWE in terms of this incident. So this is a statement that I found on Instagram, and it says that there are several names who were reached out, you know, and they identified Mark Carano as being the point of blame in the trash bag incidents to release talent, and that Mark Carano's role was already largely taken over by John Laurinaitis, who made the calls to release talent last week and also made calls to apologize to talent this evening. John stated to some of those talents that Mark Carano was responsible for the trash bag mishaps and that it had been taken care of, without explicitly stating that Mark Carano had been fired at the time. And it is very possible that Carano being out of WWE means he could go without an official firing, but without having real duties. And then some other sources from WWE also made contact with Fightful.com to express remorse about the trash bag incidents, calling them embarrassing and saying they should never have happened. And they reiterated that they wanted to take care of it as quickly as possible. This is a statement that was posted on Down for the Count podcast Instagram page. I give a shout out to those girls for doing their thing. But it's not necessarily sure if that's 100% true. But if he's the one that's responsible for these trash bag incidents happening, then yeah, I would imagine that he would deserve some type of reprimand for that, because these are released talent, and the very least that you could do is give them the dignity of having their stuff back without making it seem like you just threw it in a trash bag. I mean, Jesus, like, they've already lost a job that I'm pretty sure they didn't want to lose, or that they really loved. You could at the very least pack it a little bit neater, a little bit nicer than just in a plastic bag. But like I said last week, we'll still wish the best for all of the released talent involved, and I just hope that they go somewhere where they are valued and loved as much as they can be loved at this point. So, also in the news, we have the report that WWE will hopefully resume touring in the second half of 2021. So, the company, WWE's chief financial officer, Christina Salen, discussed the tentative plans during a quarterly earnings call Thursday and referenced the Thunderdome concept it has used in the most recent months. And this is from WrestlingInc.com. They tweeted that Salen was asked about WWE's touring plans in the second half of the year, and she said that their hope is full touring in the second half and not retaining a semi-permanent residence in the Thunderdome. So, as you know, since the pandemic hit last year, WWE was finding all kinds of creative ways to still have events and still find ways to include, you know, us fans in these events. So at first they had WrestleMania and all their events in the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida, which is where they train their NXT signees and stuff like that. Then of course they moved to the Thunderdome, into various arenas in Florida and stuff like that. So, and now they're in the University of South Florida's arena. So, and then at first they were also in the Tropicana Field and stuff like that. So now they're doing all these things to sort of include fans in it, like during live shows. It's like you can watch it on a screen and be a part of the audience that shows up on the LED boards on the television and stuff like that. So they've been finding ways to get people involved and stuff, but you can only, you know, it's only safe to assume, you know, that since WrestleMania has happened and since they've announced WrestleMania next year to take place in Texas, that they're going to actually start implementing a little bit more, hopefully safer, live events for fans. Now, I'm not sure if I'll go just yet. It depends on, you know, what's going on with the pandemic after that point. But, you know, if they do decide to come to Birmingham again, you know, I will probably lose my mind for maybe the first 30 seconds of that announcement. But then, you know, put on my common sense cap and just be like, okay, well, Stephanie, you know, you can make the decision to go or you can make the decision not to go. But I still think it's cool that they're still trying to figure out how to, you know, get stuff a little bit back to normal. But, you know, I just say, you know, if you ever go to these live events, just know to be careful and to just be safe, because we're still in the middle of a panorama. So let's just chill and just remember to just do what's best for you. So also in the news, we have this back and forth beef between Charlotte Flair and Dave Meltzer. Boy, was this kind of hot. So on Raw this past Monday, Charlotte Flair basically got suspended and had like a huge fine for putting her hands on a referee, right? So this sort of led to a whole lot of rumors talking about, you know, why is she leaving, you know, or why was she written off of television with a suspension when she just got back and all of that. And Dave Meltzer, you know, took it upon himself to say in a recording that she was getting a complete makeover because she was subconscious about her looks, right? And a lot of people were kind of had a lot of people took issue with it, you know, because he was sort of assuming that she was just going off to get cosmetic surgery, which is something that she may have had in the past. I can't, you know, confirm or deny that. So Charlotte saw this and took major offense to it, and she tweeted out the following. She said, "Yeah, I just listened. I thought Dave Meltzer would have learned his lesson last time commenting about women's bodies, but apparently I'm fair game. So I get to respond again to a rumor about my body again. You know what? This is when I stop. Dave, go to hell." And then she proceeded to tweet out, "You have my phone number. It would take you 30 seconds to ask as opposed to giving straight crap to your listeners. Grow up. For you, of all people, to comment on a woman's looks, do you have any shame, decency, or professionalism left at all? Find a mirror. Look hard, Dave." And I thought that was really, that was a really classy and also a savage way to get Dave Meltzer together. And I find it funny that, you know, for a very long period of time, it felt like Dave Meltzer had this reputation of, you know, having, you know, the best inside information in terms of what's going on in wrestling. But it's looking like slowly but surely, well, not even slowly, surely, you know, at this point, he is just becoming this person who really doesn't have it all together in terms of wrestling and doesn't know exactly how to report on wrestling, you know, from a 21st century perspective. And it also seems that he might be a little bit biased in terms of how he did his Wrestling Observer Awards last year and gave a lot of favorable awards to AEW, as opposed to, you know, making it a little bit fair of what you actually saw in terms of wrestling, you know, all across the board, instead of just giving everything to AEW that's positive and everything that's negative to WWE. So it seems like him and another person, say by the name of Jim Cornette, might seriously just need to sort of take a good look at themselves and just not talk so much stuff about these people that they could, you know, just ask about, or that if they don't like anything that's going on, maybe they should just, you know, take it upon themselves to realize that maybe wrestling has outgrown them and they should just chill and just not say ratchet things anymore. But, you know, that's just my take on it. And also stop commenting on women's bodies. If you are a man, you have no right to talk about a woman's body and everything that's happening with it or changes that you feel like should be happening or whatever. I mean, a woman's body is her choice. My body is my choice. So y'all need to shut up. Either way, also in the news, we have the amazing news that Ronda Rousey and her husband Travis Brown are expecting their first child. So they announced on Wednesday, in a video that was posted to her YouTube page, she showed off her baby bump and said she's about 4 months pregnant. Now her leaving WWE when she did, after she lost the winner takes all match at WrestleMania 35 a couple years ago against Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair in the first women's main event, you know, she was taking some time off to actually focus on trying to get pregnant because she really didn't want to have a baby. So now it's looking like this is actually happening. Now, Travis Brown, of course, you know, has his children from a previous relationship, but she's never had a child, so this is her first baby. So I want to give a congratulations to them, and I hope that they give birth to an amazing child that's really athletic and stuff like that. So that would be really amazing, because he is actually a former MMA fighter as well. So between her wrestling and her MMA and his MMA, that is going to be an amazing child, you know, full of athletic abilities. So congratulations to those two. Also in the news, we have, lastly in the news, we have Daniel Bryan feeling kind of existential before his WrestleMania 37 match with Edge and Roman Reigns. So Daniel Bryan spoke on Wednesday for the first time since, you know, fighting in that WrestleMania match for the Universal title, and he had a unique feeling. So he said that he felt detached from the situation ahead of the match, and he tried to make sense of the situation. He said it was really bizarre, and that it had taken him time to fully process what the experience was like, because it wasn't like a normal thing. He said he felt very out of body in it. When I'm wrestling, I feel everything, and I feel like I'm enjoying it. This was weird. I was out there and it felt like I was detached. It was so strange that before the match started, I got this strange feeling. Oh no, is this what it's like before you die? Am I going to die? Huh, well, okay. And then he said, I don't know why or how it happened, but it was unlike anything I've felt while wrestling. And then he also revealed that he has started talking to people close to him about, you know, what happened, and openly wondered what it means for his future in wrestling. He's quoted as having said, I haven't watched it back. I don't know if watching it back would help figure out why I'm so detached. Maybe it was a sign that it's time to let go of being a full-time wrestler. The odd detachment, I was like, whoa. Like I said, I'm either gonna die, or maybe it's a sign that this isn't it, and it isn't the same type of fulfillment that it was before. I've been trying to meditate on it and talk to my friends that I'm close with, like, what is that? My contract is up relatively soon. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing with my life. So what it seems like here is that maybe he's feeling that maybe his season of being a full-time wrestler is wrapping up. And it's so funny that this happened, and he talked about this right before this episode of SmackDown came on tonight, and he's been challenged by Roman Reigns for a Universal title match next week on SmackDown. But if Daniel Bryan loses, he has to leave SmackDown, you know, forever, and he never wants to see him again. So if this is a farewell situation that we're going through, this is going to be kind of emotional, because it just felt like only a few years ago, you know, he just made his comeback, you know, after being told that he could never wrestle again due to his injuries. And it's like now, you know, he's sort of gone on this run. You know, he had a run with the WWE Championship, you know, after being, you know, general manager. You know, he lost to Kofi Kingston and gave Kofi his moment at WrestleMania 35. And he's just been sort of, you know, in and out with it or whatever. And maybe he's feeling like maybe he should just work backstage and help beef up, you know, other wrestlers creatively. But then there are other rumors all over social media this week that maybe he could think about going, you know, to another company since his contract is up. But I can't imagine, I can imagine him going somewhere else, but then I can't imagine it at the same time, because he's been with WWE so long. But at the same time, if he does choose to go elsewhere, then that would be fine. But I would just prefer him to go backstage in WWE, because it seems like he's found a new purpose in giving other people the spotlight who he feels like wouldn't have gotten the spotlight otherwise if it wasn't for him or somebody like, say, a Paul Heyman, you know, giving them, you know, their props or their credit or something like that. So, because even like tonight on SmackDown, he was advocating for Cesaro to have his championship match, you know, with Roman Reigns. So it seems like he's found more of a purpose in being an advocate for others than it is than being an advocate for himself. So maybe he finds better purpose in that. I don't know. But here's hoping that Daniel Bryan finds a greater purpose in wrestling outside of him just being a wrestler. And also here's hoping that he doesn't die anytime soon, because that would be very heartbreaking and I would cry and it would just be terrible. So that's all for news and gossip-ish. And now we're going to go to my special interview with Casey Dillon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
All right, so this is the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and on today I have a special guest. She is a referee and a wrestler, and also the owner of the Belladonna Division here in Alabama, which is my home state. Give it up for Casey Dillon. Casey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, Steph?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad to have you here. So I'm going to ask you my first question that I ask all of my guests, and I'm going to ask you, when did you fall in love with wrestling?
It had to be, I'm going to age myself here, but it had to be in like 1992. I was 4 or 5 years old, back in the WCW heyday, being from Alabama as well. I don't even know if you were alive then, but the WCW that we got was, well, that's the wrestling you got on the TV, guys. And, you know, on the CBS Superstation, and Sting is what made me fall in love with wrestling.
Okay, like, that's a really good choice. Like, he's a GOAT, definitely, and when it comes to WCW, I was alive, but I was really little. So, like, I was born in 93, so I was sort of born, like, right a little bit before the heyday, but then all of the madness of the Monday Night War and all that other stuff that was going on, I was right there in the middle of it, but had no clue what was happening because I was a child. But my dad was watching it and he was flipping back and forth and taping it. So that was always, you know, my experience with it. And Sting was one of his favorites and my grandmother's favorites as well. So that's a good choice to start with. So I want to ask, what was it that sort of happened in your life to make you want to pursue it as a career?
So I actually wanted to do this when I was a lot younger. I've been an athlete my whole life, but you know, honestly, at the time there was no schools anywhere near Gadsden. I don't even know if there was even a wrestling school in Alabama at the time, at least not local. You know, I'd heard about schools throughout the country and stuff like that, and when I graduated, that was one of the things I wanted to do. But, you know, college, right? Go do the adult thing, go to college.
Yeah.
And then, you know, afterwards, it was straight to the military. And then, so I was a little delayed when I got started, a little later in my life. But it actually was, that was an MCW show, Maryland Championship Wrestling. I had, well, sort of. When I was in the military, I was stationed in Tennessee, and I used to watch OVW a lot, and they were on our local TV station and stuff like that. So on the weekends sometimes, or rather on the week, I would travel up to Kentucky and watch the OVW shows. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were always putting over their school, But being in the Army, you weren't allowed to do that. So I never really had the opportunity to do it. So when I moved up to Virginia, where I live now, there were some schools up here, a school in Richmond called Ground Zero Wrestling. And they helped me get involved. And it went from there. I actually had no interest in being a wrestler, to tell you the truth. I went to school to be a referee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they pushed me towards wrestling, and here we are.
Okay, you mentioned that you wanted to sort of be a referee first before being a wrestler. So what was it about refereeing that sort of drew you to it rather than, you know, being a wrestler? Because a lot of people watch wrestling and they're like, oh, I want to do the wrestling thing. But very few stories have I heard of anyone actually wanting to actually be a referee first. So what kind of sparked that?
Two things. One, I've had so many knee surgeries prior to starting wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That my main goal in life is safety, so I was more concerned with my knee rather than, you know, being an entertainer and stuff like that. But I felt like I could do what I wanted to do by still being a referee. When it came to the second thing really was one of my trainers was Earl Hebner. David Earl Hebner up in Richmond. And if you didn't want to be a referee after meeting them, did you really meet them? You know? So that was the two things that really pushed me toward wanting to be a referee.
Okay. Cool. That's an amazing story.
Plus I need to prove to people in Alabama or people outside of Alabama that we can count past three.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. See, I'm so glad you actually said that, because I remember it just makes me, you know, realize how important it is that this event is even happening, simply because of the fact that I feel like a lot of people really don't take into account that Alabama has, you know, some of the best talent in terms of wrestling, that we are still very much interested in it, and there's still a market for it here. So I'm actually glad that you said that. As a wrestler and as a referee, you know, how exactly has the independent scene treated you, whether it be in Alabama or in any other states?
I actually had a very good wrestling career. Short. It was short. But it was good. I traveled the world wrestling. You know, I wrestled in England, in Wales, in France, wrestled in Canada. You know, all over just about every state, I think 38 of 50 states, maybe I hit 39. My career was fantastic. I loved it. I had great times everywhere. You know, I had a few bad experiences, don't get me wrong. The indies are run, sometimes promotions are run by stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a great time. And to tell you the truth, Alabama was one of my favorite places to work. It's a style of wrestling I grew up with, you know, good Southern wrestling. And it was a style I imitated. It's a style that I moved towards when I was trying to find my character, my gimmick. And so I fit better in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, I did New York and I did Pennsylvania, and I still do all those places. And, you know, I've got my fans there. But I'm more of a side attraction up there. Up here on the East Coast, really, because my styles are so different. You know, I'm more of a Southern style, so when you bring a Southern style to a Northern state, you stand out. And sometimes it's not necessarily a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but I'm a good thing. So I loved my career. I had a great career. No regrets. Met some fantastic people. And I learned so much about wrestling that I would have learned just, you know, staying at my local federation in Virginia or just wrestling in Alabama. So happy. I cannot complain about my career.
Wow. So you mentioned sort of like a difference between Southern wrestling or wrestling, as you said, and Northern wrestling. So what would you say are some just distinct differences between the two? Because I've actually
I've only ever been exposed to mainstream wrestling in front of television, and as opposed to really knowing the difference between Northern and Southern wrestling in the Indies. So if you don't mind, like, actually expounding upon that a little bit.
Yeah, and this one, I'll put this disclaimer out there. This is 100% opinion. But what you see up north is more of an imitation of, and honestly, throughout most of the country, more of an imitation of what you see on TV with WWE. It's a lot of fast spots, a lot of big spots, a lot of flippy stuff, stuff that's not necessary in a wrestling match, but makes everybody go, "Ooh," you know. So, and gets the chants going and stuff like that. What I consider more Southern wrestling is it's a slower, laid back, more of a fight, telling more of a story. You're putting more psychology into it, and you're doing things for a reason. Like, you don't have to go out there and take 30 bumps to put over a good story. And that is something that you don't see up north so much. Everybody gets, or even here on the East Coast, wherever, or even out in Vegas or wherever, everywhere I've wrestled. You're told to go out there and, you know, give me 8 to 10 minutes, and it's 8 to 10 minutes of bumping from 30 seconds into the match. I'm taking my first bump, and I don't understand it. I mean, I've done it, and I'll do it for the right paycheck, and I've done it for the paycheck, but it shortens your career. And when you come down to the South and you get a good Southern wrestling match, you know, there's a lot of gimmicky stuff, a lot of character work, a lot of hooting and hollering and playing with the crowd, and, you know, the stuff that makes the indies more fun than necessarily the TV does. You know, stuff you can't experience just watching TV or even sitting at, you know, a big promotions things. So, you know, I punch you, you sell that punch. You know, I body slam you, you better sell that body slam. Not necessarily a setup for another position. It may just be a move. And you just don't see that up with a lot of the Northern promotions. Not knocking it. It's not my style.
Okay. Well, I'm actually glad that you were able to break that down. So as a performer, a lot of people were definitely affected by the pandemic. So how exactly were you able to sort of pivot that and adapt to that situation, as we all have had to do in the midst of it?
It was quite frustrating, to say the least. We in the business, we're attention whores, if you don't mind me using that word.
No, that's fine.
We want the spotlight to be on us at all times, right? You may be a little shy, you know, quiet in your real life, but when it comes to performances, you don't want to perform in front of no one, right? I mean, we do it with closed tapings up in Maryland and Pennsylvania, places I've done recently, as much as yesterday. I was doing closed tapings yesterday. But it's frustrating. One of the things you do as a wrestler is you perform based on the reaction you're getting, and you react based on the performance that you're getting, right? I apologize. So anyways,
it's okay.
And so without a crowd, it's hard. It feels like training, right? And when sometimes there's no motivation. So the pandemic really put a whole spotlight on how depressing things can be when what you love is taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the fans that are strictly WWE, AEW type fans, you guys were lucky. You know, you got to get to keep wrestling for the most part. But those of us who are more driven to the performance side and not so much necessarily the TV side of things and watching it ourselves, it was quite depressing. And it took a mental shovel, per se, to a lot of people's heads. I know a lot of people that said they didn't want to come back after the pandemic. You know, they this business can burn you out. And sometimes you need a break. But too long of a break, it's like being stuck in the house, like everybody else is stuck in the house, right? It just burns you out. And I don't know if I'm rambling here. I don't know if I'm making sense, but kind of get the gist of what I'm trying to say is it was hard mentally on everyone. And then there's the lack of a paycheck as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a business. We do make money. I don't make money. So when you lose that income, you lose what you love, you're stuck at home, you know, it was depressing for everyone, I think.
Okay. So how exactly were you able to, you know, adapt in the midst of that and sort of, you know, push forward in a positive way?
There was a lot of things, promo battles. A lot of people were doing promo battles. I'm not sure if you follow how many, like, independent wrestlers you follow on TV or on Instagram or whatever, Facebook. But a lot of us were doing promo battles, which was actually quite fun. You know, you're cutting promos, you get matched up against someone. You go back and forth, like rap battles.
Yeah.
Right? Yep, geekier, right? Nerdier. Way more fun. So that was easy. A lot of training. Over 2018, 2019, I had 3 weekends off out of, how many weeks are there in a year? 52? 104 weeks, I had 3 weeks off or in total from wrestling. 2 of those was because I lost a grandparent. When it was tiring. I was tired. My body hurt. You know, I'm working 3 to 4 shows a week. So in that situation, sometimes you have to, you know, maybe miss a training night one time a week, or maybe even you can't go training at all that week because you got maybe a normal shoot job and stuff like that. So actually during the pandemic, it's a really good time to step back, you know, take a step back from working, step back into the training ring. And I stepped in, back into the training ring with up at MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling. And, you know, they are one of the Future of Honor with Ring of Honor, one of their schools, one of their developmental schools. So, you know, top notch trainers up there. And it gave me a lot of time. And to me, that was positive. You know, they would take a step back and really reevaluate what you know, what realize what you don't know. And so to me, that's a good positive thing.
Yeah, I find that some of the things that people have been doing in order to keep themselves, you know, afloat has been to get creative and sort of figuring out, you know, how can I still do, you know, even in the midst of this crazy thing that's sort of taken everything away. And it's good that you were able to do that and also keep your tools sharpened in that aspect with your abilities. And I'm sorry for your loss of your grandparent. I know that's not easy because I've personally been through it myself. So I know that's just not an easy thing to do, but you still rose above it and found a way. So I'm going to switch gears and ask you, you know, what inspired you to create your own wrestling promotion?
So how to put this nicely, there are a lot of creeps in this business. And there are a lot of female promotions out there, women's promotions out there, that are quite difficult to work for sometimes. You know, there's a lot of drama that goes into this business, a lot of pay issues, a lot of booking issues, a lot of, you know, a lot of favors, and stuff like that. And it becomes a headache, right? And you know, and then there's the fact that women's wrestling is not respected. It doesn't get respect that the men do, right? So if you know, you're traveling around the country, you're busting your ass to get to a show that has, you know, 6 matches, 7 matches, 1 women's match, right? And, you know, and people actually get up and go get sodas. Like, they don't respect it. They don't watch it. It's the throwaway match. And that's not even counting South. When you come to the South, it's been historically even worse. right? You have to be a damn good character to really grasp the attention of those folks, or you just have to be a Barbie doll. And honey, I'm not a Barbie doll, so you know, I went for the character thing, right? But there was no reputable, really solid women's division in Alabama. You know, when I first started working in Alabama, there was quite a few of us. You know, there was me, there was Aja, there was Aja Pereira, there was Wode, there was obviously Veronica Fairchild, there was who else was available at the time? You know, I was bringing girls down from the East Coast to come down and work with me. There was so many, and then there's the Florida girls, it was just numerous. At the time, there was actually good women's wrestling in Alabama, but you don't get one match. And so it was difficult to always maintain that and to push that narrative forward that it actually is an incredible thing to watch. So Veronica and I both decided to step back from in-ring work to pursue this. She has a little bit of experience in promoting. I have zero experience in promoting, but I know not what to do, right? I know that I'm going to have the money's already there. I know how to treat the talent, all because of things that I witnessed that I don't want to do that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So using my bad experiences moving forward, her bad experiences moving forward, that is why we wanted to create a safe space to showcase women's talent that proves to the people that we can entertain you just as well as boys can. You know, we can get in there, we can kick ass just as much as the boys can. And you know what? We can take steel chair shots too. Okay. So that is our reasoning for starting that promotion.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful reason, to be honest, because I know from watching wrestling, you know, myself as a fan, even if it was just on television, there was like a huge space and time in which women's wrestling was not taken seriously at all. And it used to disappoint me because in the back of my young mind, I would say, I hope one day the girls can do what the guys can do. And it didn't get that way until I got to college. It didn't get that way until I was finally in my, 20s? And once it finally did get to that point, I mean, and that's not knocking, you know, what the girls were able to do while they were there, you know, because there were some moments and some pockets in there where a lot of women did pretty good things, even though they weren't being taken as seriously. But at the same time, you know, I wanted there to be a narrative change, you know, in how the women were being perceived. And now it's only just now within the past, you know, 8 years where the dime is changing and we have more women doing amazing things. You're seeing more matches even on television, but there's still so much work to be done, even in independent. And I'm really glad that you're speaking to this, and I'm happy that you're on here so I can tell you how excited I am about Genesis. I'm so excited about Genesis. I can't even tell you how pumped I was to hear about the Belladonna division and why Genesis is a thing and everything about it. Like, I'm super pumped. So do you want to talk more about the show itself and how that came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were the women's division for BCW.
Mm-hmm.
We separated. We wanted to do our own thing. It was not any type of issues. There was no anger. Veronica and I just wanted to step aside and do our own thing. So, wow. It's a culmination of everything that we've always wanted, right? She knows the business. I know the people. She's been out of the game for a few years. Her last 5 or so years was generated more towards like the Alabama and Georgia, Tennessee. She didn't travel as much anymore over her last 2 years in the business. But I was out there. I was traveling the country, traveling the world. So she kind of left the booking and figuring out the matches, the card writing, the creativity. She kind of left that portion to me to figure out. So when we decided that she was going to have what she was going to do and what I was going to do, super excited, like Christmas morning again, you know. I got the chance to write the matches that I want to write, to set up things the way I want to set them up. I know almost every one of these girls personally. Those that I don't know personally, that I've never actually stepped in the ring with, have been recommended to me, or I've worked shows with them. I just didn't know them. So I know the matches I'm giving you are going to be top notch. I know that the matches that we've got lined up are going to be killer matches. We've put a lot of thought and effort into each opponent. And so we're beyond excited. Nervous. Nervous too. Extremely nervous. You know, it's, I don't want to say this is a sink or swim show, but it's a sink or swim show. Like, we you know, we really want the people to come out and really enjoy this show. You know, we can lick our wounds and recover if it doesn't do well, but jazz.
Yes, Lord.
Like, jazz. I called a favor, right? I've worked jazz, as a show with jazz previously. And we've been talking for years back and forth. Well, I shouldn't say years, at least a year or so back and forth. About getting this done, and then COVID hit, and it just put like a kickstopper and everything. And I got jazz, right? So I really wanted to start this thing off strong. You know, I've been on women's shows with fantastic cards. I'm talking about, I've been on shows where right now, probably 12 of the 15 girls on the show are signed with either AEW, Impact, ROH, WWE, over in Japan. And then there's three of us that are little stragglers left behind, right? Mm-hmm. But it just tons and tons of great talent, and the shows didn't draw. Mm-hmm. We're talking 30, 40 people. It comes back to the lack of respect. So the thought process was, maybe if I can provide you talent that can go with jazz, that can put up a fight with jazz, and you know jazz, maybe that will really show you that the talent that we have is serious and is there for a reason, you know. And so excited, nervous, scared, to be quite honest. I've got my ibuprofen already ready because I know there's going to be something crazy going on somewhere. I've got contingencies, plans B, C, D, and Z, right? So I'm excited. I hope you're excited. We're excited to have you on. So you want to tell everybody about your special part of the show?
Oh, man. Like, I'm happy that you are excited that I'm a part of the show. Like, because this is... So for those who may or may not have seen my post or whatever, like, this is my first time ever commentating anything, because I know I'm a podcast host, of course, but I'm, you know, being the commentator or whatever, and I am so excited to do it, because it's just the fact that I love women's wrestling so very much, and I feel like, you know, and I feel like watching the women, you know, soar and rise, you know, in various forms of wrestling, whether it be in the independents or even in the mainstream, it just makes my heart swell, and it's just one of the greatest joys of my life. And I just feel really honored, you know, that you would even want me to even be a commentator on this thing. Like, I just, like, when you told me that you wanted me, I was just like, are you serious? Oh my God. Like, I just couldn't breathe. I was like, it was one of the greatest, you know, points of my life, because I just write stuff down a lot. And one of the things that I do write down a lot is, like, maybe, you know, if this is going to be a career, then maybe I could start using my voice here as a commentator, or here as a host, or here as a thing, you know. And I never thought that it would come into fruition this quickly, but now it is. And I'm just so happy to rise to the occasion of what this means, you know, for my home state, you know, for Gaston, for women's wrestling, and for all of you guys. And I'm just really excited and really honored and humbled that you even considered me for it. Like, it's crazy. I'm so happy.
We're happy to have you. You know, that's one thing that you'll learn about indie wrestling, more so it's about women's wrestling, is we're here for opportunities, right? We're all trying to make it, right? We're all trying to get somewhere. And some people aren't at this point. Some people have accepted their position. right? But others are still trying to make it, right? And so showcasing female talent and local talent is, you know, I don't have a lot of local girls on this show. It's not that the local girls aren't good. It's that they were booked, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the girls that I wanted to use. And then, you know, I used some gap fillers and stuff like that. I just looked you behind the scenes a little bit. So I don't have a lot of local girls. So having you as a representative of Alabama, besides Veronica and myself, really, there's no other Alabama representatives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we needed somebody that wasn't backstage being an Alabama representative. You're good at what you do. You know, you've got a great co-host in Brittany Hoffman. If you've never seen her work with Elevate, she is fantastic. So I've got you in safe hands. So, you know, let's hear what you're able to do. And we're excited to hear it. I'll be backstage listening to everything you say. So, better not trash talk me. If you trash talk me, I'll hear it, man.
Oh, definitely. I would never trash talk you. Like, that's terrible. No, I would never do that. But I'm really happy for this opportunity. And now knowing that I'm a part of the Alabama connection here, it just makes me kind of emotional. But I'm going to try not to cry. I want to ask you, how exactly do you feel about the evolution of women's wrestling? And do you have any hopes for the future?
The future is endless, right? We've seen what's been happening. We've seen going from having the Women's Battle Royal or Royal Rumble to, you know, multiple women's titles to women main eventing pay-per-view. And the recent, which made me so happy, seeing Sasha in there main eventing. I was always a huge Sasha fan. I may or may not have known Sasha prior. So, you know, it's kind of happy to see her progression. And seeing her and Bianca, right?
Yes.
Main event was fantastic. And it couldn't have happened at a better time, you know? Society's moving forward. And, you know, while there's not always equal representation of everyone out there, the representation out there is top-notch, right? And so the platform that the women have been given over the last few years is incredible. And I don't know who personally to thank for that. I mean, we all know who personally to thank for that. It's incredible. And, you know, I grew up in, you know, a time in which it was TNA. You know, and you watched the first episode of The Bell's On Effect. You know, my definition of TNA is talent and attitude.
Right.
And but that's not what we came up growing up with. And the Diva era, I mean, it was entertaining, I guess, but it was misrepresentation. And it was such a lack of not talent, not athleticism, but the lack of allowing them to do what they do best. You know, you had Lita, and you had Chyna, and you had, you know, you had Jazz, and you had a few more that were doing more athletic things, but you had the Deborahs and the Trishes and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and crap on everyone's name or what their work is. But it wasn't always good. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't always good. And it wasn't their fault. And the fact that the women now are being sent out there to the ring, hey, go do your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go do your character. Go out there and show the world what you have that's not a body part, right? That makes me so happy. You know, the future's endless. It won't be long before, you know, two women of color main eventing WrestleMania won't be even a thing that's noticed, right? I mean, it's a great thing that's happening, but eventually, hopefully soon, it will just be another fantastic main event.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm seeing, looking forward, and that makes me happy, you know? So, future's endless.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because I'm actually going to be talking about Sasha and Bianca a little bit more on today, on my episode that I'm going to put out this weekend. So I actually want to ask you, who are your top five wrestlers, male, female, or non-binary?
It's a good question. So I'm honestly gonna stick with more the smaller famous folks. To be quite honest, we said Sting, right? Sting is always been a favorite. We'll go. Ric Flair has always been a favorite. But then of course, you know, I was always an Austin fan as well. But I think some of my favorites are actually lower level girls now. You know, Nyla's always been she's been a friend of mine for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was one of the first signings to AEW, and I love Nyla to death. We've worked together quite so many times up here in the West Virginia, in the Virginias and Maryland and blah 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 up here over there, man. And we've always had a great time together. And you know, we were supposed to go to Japan at one point together at some point. So, I love Nyla. And, you know, her work is so great. Another girl that has been in and out, back and forth to the bigger promotion, is Kylie Rae. You know, I love Kylie. She's a sweet girl. Her work speaks for itself. I don't know if you're a Kylie Rae fan or not. I love Smiley Kylie. She's that girl that can always make you happy as soon as she walks through the door.
Yeah.
It's not character, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always love that. Another wrestler that you may or may not have ever heard of, but has done so much for me personally, in and out of the ring, and has been an icon in women's wrestling, is Lufisto. Not sure if you're familiar with her. She's a Canadian wrestler. She lived in the States for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually my third match ever. But 20-plus-year worker, a real pioneer in women's wrestling. I guess the woman that never got signed, right? But should easily have been signed and would have easily topped every women's division she ever was in. She just had some issues, and so she's always been one of my favorites. But if we go back to the more well-known side of the house, yeah, Sting, Austin, Undertaker, Flair. Was always a Bobby Roode fan. I love Bobby Roode. I don't know why, but I like Bobby Roode. there's something about it just, you know, gets me. Yeah, so I would call them my five bigger names.
Okay, that's a pretty solid, you know, list of people, you know, and even ones that are who are your own personal favorites as well, you know, even from the independents, you know, that's really solid and it's valid here. So that was really good. And I'm actually going to look up more information on Mephisto, because I have heard that name before but never really looked into her, but I'm gonna definitely look into her now.
Well, I hope you have dedicated hours, because there's tons and tons of stuff out there that you could watch for days.
Oh, snap. Okay. Well, I'll definitely do that, you know, when I get a chance. So I want to ask you maybe two more questions. Do you believe that there should be more women in creative positions and media-based positions in wrestling?
Yes. This is still a male-dominated sport, regardless of how great the revolution is going, how great, you know, these main event matches are going. Still a minority, still very underrepresented. Still, if your name doesn't end with McMahon and start with Stephanie, you're not listened to very often as a female in this business. Somebody brought up a good point the other day, and I can't remember who it was, mentioned that there was more females on commentary on one particular company being WWE than she's noticed in the independent circuit ever. Like, and that is ridiculous, considering there's way more indie promotions than there are the one WWE. So yes, there needs to be way more women. The issue is, I don't think there's the want. And, you know, coming from somebody's trying that book, Women Chose, it's not easy to find the women that are interested in being in those positions. You know, it seems like a lot of times when the women come in, it's wrestler or it's referee. You know, if sometimes it's announcing. You know, in your case, you're the very, very minority in terms of wanting to pursue the commentary side of things, right? That's not a very a common thing, and it's difficult. And there needs to be more women out there, not just for ease of my life, but for people to really, if we're really gonna get people to fall into women's wrestling, you need to fall into all of it, right?
Right.
It's not just the wrestlers, it's the referees, it's the managers, it's the valets, it's the commentary, it's the announcers, everyone, you know. And I wish more women's promotions would use all women everything, but it's tough to find them. So, girls, if you're looking for a job, that's a job to go into.
Yeah. And it's so funny you said if your last name isn't McMahon or if your first name isn't Stephanie, no one cares. Maybe I'll have better luck because my name is Stephanie. And my last name is Hardy too, so maybe I'll have better luck.
There you go.
And then people will actually listen to me because those are my names, and you can't deny that anywhere. It's interesting. But I swear my parents didn't do that on purpose. That was literally a coincidence. They didn't. They really didn't. Oh my gosh. So one final question, what inspirational words would you give to someone who's looking to start a career, whether it be in women's wrestling, refereeing, or even in media-based positions?
Stick with it. You're going to hear no 9 million times before you get yes. And then when you get that one yes, you're going to hear 9 million more no's before you get another yes. Nose to the grindstone. You've got to stay with it. You know, you may be a great cup of tea, but not everybody likes tea.
Right.
You know, that's, and you know, you're gonna get put down. You're gonna get shot down faster than the guys will get shot down. You're gonna be told that you can't make it. You're gonna be told that you're not worth it. You're not worth the investment. You're not worth the time. You have no future. You're not a Barbie. You know, you, whatever the case may be, you've got to stick with it. You've got to prove, you've got to work twice, three times as hard, right? If training is 2 hours a day, you need to be in it for 6 hours. You know, you need to be there early. You need to leave late. You need to, you know, be at the gym twice as much. You know, whatever your weaknesses are, you need to focus on that. Because people are going to pick on the women. They're going to find that spot that bothers you, and they're going to milk the hell out of it, right? This isn't necessarily the easiest business to be in. It can actually be quite a pain. So, as stated previously, you've got to stick with it. Those are my words. Just stick with it. Don't let the BS of this business ruin your mindset and ruin your drive to do what you want to do.
And
don't let the women run you out.
And that's pretty solid advice there. So Casey, I thank you so much for coming on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I feel, you know, very honored that you were on my show. And I'm really honored that we get to work together, and I hope we continue to work together, because this is awesome and this is just going to be fantastic. I see it in the future. So if you can, just put yourself over and tell people where to follow you on social media. And of course, you know, push anything else that you have going on, you know, in your own career, and just anything else you want to talk about.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter a little bit. Facebook is Casey Dillon, simple as that. You can find me, and Instagram is Casey Dillon _POD, I think is what it is, to be honest. Also Twitter, I think it's the same. I don't tweet much except to make fun of Trump, so you won't see me on Twitter very often. but the important thing, if you don't want to follow me, you've got to follow the Belladonna Division. We're on Facebook. We're on IG. We've got our own YouTube channel now. We're releasing weekly a new TV show that Veronica and I are doing, kind of like Talking Smack, where we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about the Belladonna Division. We'll talk about women's wrestling, but not so much in a podcast format. More so about what's happening in the shows, what just happened, you know, what we're doing. Enjoy it. Also, another thing that we didn't really talk about in this particular episode, but in your podcast, but is big for me and important in my life, is British Empire Wrestling. It's a company that I worked for. I got my first UK debut with them. Fantastic company. They've got 10 plus years of experience running women's wrestling. It's had some of the best in the business come through their doors, through alumni of them, and both training and running through shows. I'm now the proud owner of that. I got that heritage. I got that fucking contract, right? So let's push that too. And we're going to push British Empire Wrestling. You find us on Facebook. Not so much Instagram. I ain't got an Instagram for that just yet. Find us on Facebook. Also visit quickwrestle.com. There is hundreds of hours of work from the ladies at BEW, including my own work is there. Watch me and Sadie give and Talia Martin. You'll really enjoy that match. It was a good, I told the British people to piss off, and it was a good time. So check that match out. That's it. My things I got going on. You can catch me. You won't catch me at all because it's a TV taping. But I've got tons of shows coming up with MCW. Got tons of stuff working out in Pennsylvania. I'm now the World Champion of Eclipse Wrestling. Believe it or not, I did come out of retirement momentarily just because I had some stuff I needed to deal with Adina Steele. Her and I had a past. We need to close that out, and so I closed it out once and for all. And now I've got a title I've got to defend. You can check me out with them at Eclipse Wrestling up in Pennsylvania. And thank you so much, Steph. I appreciate everything. You've been great. And I will see you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Casey, for coming on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so since I had the amazing Casey Dillon on my show, and I want to thank her for coming on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, I want to take this time to actually put over this event a whole lot more, and I'm going to be doing it within the coming weeks leading up to the event. So, the Belladonna Division is one of the first all-female women's promotions in the South, and I'm so proud that it's taking place in my home state of Alabama. Whoop whoop, sweet home Alabama. Roll Tide, roll. I'm not a Crimson Tide fan. I just say that because it's just in my bones. Either way, I'm just really excited that this is taking place in Alabama. So, the event Genesis is taking place on Saturday, May the 15th, 2021 at the Gadsden Mall in Gadsden, Alabama. And if you need the address, here it is. It's 1001 Rainbow Drive, Gadsden, Alabama 35901. The general admission for tickets is $15 and ringside seats are $20, and the doors open at 6 p.m. But before the doors open for the Genesis event itself, legendary wrestler and all-around future Hall of Famer Jazz is going to be having a wrestling seminar that you can sign up for only $50, and that's going to take place at the Gaston Mall from 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. So if you want to take that opportunity to learn from one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time, please do so. Go and get this class, you know. And plus, she's also booked, you know, to wrestle with us, you know, on that show too. So please take that opportunity to do that as she goes on her retirement tour. And then after that, of course, you have the Genesis event, and it's going to feature some of the greatest, you know, talent that we have, you know, in women's wrestling today. Some of these women have, you know, various backgrounds and various different fighting styles, and they have fought all over the world and competed in various promotions, some of them even in WWE a couple of times, and some of them on Impact and other places as well. So First, we have NWA legend Joyce Grabble's going to be there. Harley Fairfax, Valentina Loca, a UK star by the name of Eden Von England, Jocelyn Navarro, who's a Jamaican superstar, Ariella Nix, Nina Monet, Gabby Ortiz, BB Ryan, Trixie Chalance Royal, Heather Monroe, Rachel Ray Lynn, Brittany Blake, and the weapon of all destruction, the WOAD, is going to be there. And also, I'm going to be making my official debut as a commentator, and I'm going to be commentating alongside Brittany Hufflin. She is amazing, and we're going to try to, you know, basically, well, not try, I'm going to try to keep up with her as much as I possibly can, because this is going to be my first time, so I'm really excited, you know, to be a color commentator for this event. Women's wrestling has always been something I've been passionate about, so the idea that something like this, you know, is happening in my home state and I get to be a part of it, you know, just really moves me, you know, and it'll always, you know, touch me to no end. And hopefully, you know, this can be the start of something new in my life. No High School Musical though. So we're gonna tear it down, and we're gonna tear it up at Genesis, which is basically, you know, the beginning of things. You know, if you know anything, you know, about, you know, biblical knowledge, Genesis is translated to the beginning. And hopefully this can be the beginning of something great that can continue to happen in the state of Alabama, you know, for women's wrestling. So I'm really excited this is happening. Again, this Genesis is taking place Saturday, May the 15th, 2021, with the doors opening at 6 p.m. And you can buy your tickets at this link that can be found on the Instagram page for the Belladonna Division at Belladonna Division, and on their Facebook page, which is the Belladonna Division. And here's the link. It's https thebelladonnadivision.square.site. But you can find the link on their social media platforms. Please follow them on Instagram and on Facebook. And of course, I'm going to be posting about it on my social media handles as well. So with that in mind, please support women's wrestling. Even the wrestling that you may or may not know about, please support it. The wrestling that's going on in your hometown, please support it. And just, you know, raise your voices for women's wrestling, because there is a revolution happening and it's only going to get greater from here. So please support us and please come out and support women's wrestling here in Alabama. All right. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Like I always say, if you want to listen to the show, you can listen to the show everywhere you get your podcasts, as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, my YouTube channel called the Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to that channel. You can listen to me on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and various other places as well. You can also follow me on Instagram at Hardy Wrestling Podcast and on Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod, due to the characters. And, you know, if you want to, you know, check me out, you can also check me out at Queen Steph Hardy on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, you can find me under Stephanie LaShawn Hardy, because that's my whole name. So with that in mind, I hope you're being safe and you're continuing to be your very best self and being the boss or EST of your own life, or the king and queen of your own life, and just making decisions that ultimately, you know, benefit you in your journey and your bottom line. So with that in mind, thank you for listening to the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and until next time, bye y'all.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.